Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
What's popping?
Hey, hey.
What's popping?
What it do, good people?
TV and radio land and all of the good stuff. How y'all doing today?
Hey, hey.
We are back here in the building. With another great episode. I'm your boy.
Absolutely.
Pastor J.
And I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And we are Shift Real Talk Tuesdays.
Yes,
we are here again, man. And we got another exciting episode today. I'm ready to delve into it, y'all.
You ready to get in,
man,
it?
Man, we brung in some reinforcements today, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, we really wanted to deal and
dibble and dabble
and get into this topic that is so common to what we hear today.
Yeah.
We are talking about mental abuse, y'all.
Overcoming mental abuse at hand.
And what better guest to bring on but with somebody who really understands the level of mentality. She's a professional in this field.
Licensed therapist.
She's a licensed. She's certified.
Once again.
And once again, y'all, I want to bring on my baby girl.
Mind provoking. Yeah. What's up, fam?
Mind P. Like, yo, you was on last week with a whole nother name. What's good? You know what I'm saying?
Amari?
Yeah, that's my
Amari
fraternity family's name that I was
okay.
Getting.
Okay, gotcha. How you doing today? It's good to see you. Welcome back on with us. You are a part of us. So, you know, you ain't no guest. You know what I mean? You a part of us, man. Like, for real.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? You family now. You know what I'm saying? We done inducted you.
I've been family.
I'm saying into the Shift family. Family for real.
But she been following.
That's right. Wait a minute.
Ever since day one.
So you've been inducted into the Shift Real Talk Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It is.
That's why I was like, did you forget?
I did. I forgot.
She's been there since day one.
See, that's why we're talking about mental today.
Overcoming mental abuse.
So today's topic is over. We're going to jump right into it, y'all. And those, I don't know if we live or not, but you know how
live,
we
baby.
Do. Okay, so here we go. We live. We live and live in color. So listen, y'all. So check this out, man. We're going to delve right into it, man. First of all, before we delve into it, how was your week? You know, like, you know, anything new, you know, say anything, you know, how was your week? We missed you last week, you know?
For sure. Yeah. My week was good. Just busy with clients. That's about it.
That's a good thing, man. Like I told everybody, man, you certified with this, man. And we love the information that you give. You're very certified, very knowledgeable with this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, man, because even when I be studying my stuff, man, it's just a lot. And you got to keep going over the stuff just to make sure that you remember. I got to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? Keep reading up on it. Keep reading up on the behaviors. And, you know, so we coming today dealing with overcoming mental abuse. So I want to start off with a question. What actually is mental abuse? What would you say? What would y'all? I'm asking all both of y'all this question. What do you know your knowledge and what do you think it is?
So with breaking down mental, right? That's like your mind as well as like it could be like disorders, right? Or like we've been talking about in the past, cognitive distortion. So your mind does a lot. That's the mental, right? And then when it comes to abuse, that's being misused, improper use, or just being cruel to somebody. When you put it together, you're projecting hardships on another individual, right? Mm-hmm. Or you may be internally having some like internal deficits that you are struggling with inside yourself, right? So that's where that mental abuse comes from. It's like a person can ruminate over and spiral over a lot of negativity, and they're hurting themselves because it starts in your mind. It starts with planting that seed, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And once you keep dwelling on that seed and watering that negative seed, that's where you're abusing yourself. Or again, like I said, you're projecting it onto others. So that's what I feel is on my definition of mental abuse is.
What you say, babe?
The abnormal use of the mindset. So same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe mental abuse is the very thing that you just can't let go of.
Yeah.
You hold on to it. You hold on to it so much until you torment your own self with your own level of thinking. So I believe that a lot of the abuse we bring on to ourselves because we won't do the proper thing to let it go.
Yeah.
So not only do we bring it upon ourselves, but then we allow the people who are around us to have to suffer from the very things that are inside of our head.
Y'all saying the same exact thing.
And so this is why there's a lot of cognitive therapy to get those thoughts out of your head. You know what I'm saying? So the whole purpose is to really, you know, and what I've learned too, as far as like your mental state, it's like most of the times, because we have thought about this, and you know, because we've thought about this for quite some time, it stays in our head. So it's like, prime example. Let me give an example. You know, there's a saying that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt you." I don't agree with that, because sometimes verbal abuse or something that somebody has said has really stuck in our head, and it has been a seed has been sown. Like, oh, you old big head this, and you know, I remember when I was little, because they said I had a big head one, and that thing
they
stuck
said
with
you
me.
Had one.
They said I had a big head, and that thing stuck with me, and it was like, man, I would do everything in my power to cover. Like, I would put hats on. Yeah,
you don't act like that now.
Oh, because I don't care now. I mean, whatever.
You went too
wrong. Yeah, it was like, but you know why? Because I dealt with that thought. I dealt with it. So it's like, hey, don't bother me. I know I got a big head. So what? Tell me
but
something
you
else
you
I didn't
hear. You brought up another avenue too. It's three parts to abuse: mental, physical, and verbal.
Yes.
So it's three parts. So you may be doing one or the other. You may be doing two out of the three, or you may be doing all three, right?
Yes.
Because even when you grab somebody by the arm, right, that's still a form of physical abuse.
Yes.
Right? So we could talk about that too. So it's a lot of things that happen in your mind that not forces, but makes people do things impulsively that they wouldn't normally do.
Got you. Let me just take a little pause just to give a little shout out for the people who are tuning in. Aunt Liza, thank you. Your phone is working. You are on.
Hey, Aunt
thank
Liza.
You, Aunt Liza. We love Mama Pearly. Mama Pearly is on. We love you so much. Lisa Dabney from ATL. She on. My boy Tony Bird. You on, man? What's
Tony
up, T Bird?
What's up? What's
so,
up?
So yeah. So that is so true, man. You know, we struggle with a lot of things that we think about, and. This is what they teach us. Like, once you think about it, that thought sets in, and then you respond. Your actions, your behavior comes behind the thoughts. So this is why it's so important that these thoughts don't stay in our heads.
Yeah.
Because once this thought stays in your head, it's like an example of a cut on your hand. So if you got a cut on your hand, the scab or the results of that cut will remind you that there is a wound there.
Yeah.
So it's a reminder. That thought, it's a reminder of what actually, you know, was said to you.
Absolutely.
Or what you experienced or what you've been through. It's a reminder. So when you think about it in your head, what you do is now this is a narrative, or this is what you refer to going forward.
It's
or
your guideline.
Yeah, this is what you use as your guide to either get into a situation or not get into it. You know what I'm saying? You're guided by this thought that you keep in your head.
Absolutely.
What do you guys say about that?
Go ahead, Mom.
Until you haven't talked yet. You haven't talked yet.
Okay, so let
you
me
got
tell
the floor.
You.
And,
wait. Let me tell you. See, the thing about that is I'm learning that it's necessary to speak, not just to regurgitate information. But just sometimes I'm just gonna sit back and take it in and then respond when I feel that there's a need to respond. So I'm growing.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm growing.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. You got it.
So, go ahead.
So remember this. Okay, so we identified what mental abuse is. And, you mm-hmm. know, we all agreed that mental abuse is, you know, it's a mind thing. It's the things that the thoughts that come up in our mind, mm-hmm. whether it was been, you know, invoked into us or what we thought ourselves or what we've experienced. Because even sometimes mm-hmm. what we don't even realize, too, what we learn is that our environments yeah. can cause mental abuse, like situations that correct. We're in. You know what I'm saying? Our environment, you know, yeah. in our homes,
yeah.
in our communities, in our churches. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So uh-huh. a lot of these areas or these bad areas or these things that we've seen negatively, uh-huh. like if you was in an area in a community where they did a lot of shooting, you know what I'm saying? They gangbanging in there.
Yeah.
In your head, uh-huh. it's like every area that looks bad or has a certain look to it,
yeah.
in your mind said, oh, man, let me be careful around here because there could be mm-hmm. somebody shooting around here. So yeah. our environments mm-hmm. also invoke our level of mental abuse or what we think. But again, I understand that we have to really equip ourselves with knowledge.
Correct.
We have to equip ourselves with understanding that knowledge is not just power, but knowledge is the information. And mm-hmm. if we don't mm-hmm. equip ourselves with information, then what we do is we stunt our growth and where we're going, because information, it grows and it teaches us a whole level or a different level of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, we have to kind of reverse the thing. You know what I'm saying? They teach us that a mm-hmm. lot. So let me ask you guys a question. Why do you feel, you know, as far as like understanding that mental behaviors or mental abuse, we understand that is a real thought. It is a real thing. Why do you believe that people hold on to a lot of this and not get rid of it? Like, you know, when they have these negative thoughts in their heads, mm-hmm. why do you think people hold on to it and not do the necessary work to rid of that? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? What do y'all think?
The first reason could be because of learned behavior. Like whatever's instilled in you, whatever you see growing up, that's 18 years of seeing it, right?
Yeah.
You're also seeing what you don't have, and then you start comparing yourself to other people from your own voice of what you don't have and what other mm-hmm. people have. Then when you yearn to get those things, since getting those things, it was just because you saw it, you didn't really understand it, you yeah. start to go down another spiral and you know, blame yourself, or you come down on yourself, or you feel like you're a failure. Yes. So it starts, just like I was talking about the seed earlier, it starts with that seed, but then you're watering it by not having the tools or the know-how or the knowledge of what you said in order to change your environment. So a lot of people do become mm-hmm. a product of their own environment based yes. off of what they were shown, based off of experiences, absolutely. Based off yeah. of people, you know, and what they have and what they don't have. So that's how people begin to spiral.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times people hold on to those mental thoughts. It basically depends mm-hmm. on how well they feel like it served them. Did it, mm-hmm. did thinking like that serve me growing up? Like I used this mentality growing up to keep me, you know, sane. So they think, you know, but mm-hmm. really what they were doing were they were learning to cope with situations or experiences or things that people said to them. And so they felt like that was their, it became like their guard, their protection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that to let it go a lot of times would mean that I'm letting go of that thing that protected me from having to deal with
yes, yes.
the reality of what happened to me. I can use this as my defense. That's yeah. what I think.
Right. So now you're talking about defense mechanisms. Definitely.
Yeah, defense mechanisms. Yeah. Eliza said, mm-hmm. yes, because I have said that I am free in Christ, but I was still in bondage with thoughts of what happened in the past. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We hold on to mm-hmm. it. And Tierra. Hey, Tierra.
Hey, Tierra.
She said, can mental abuse go hand in hand with trauma? Oh, well.
Definitely.
Yes.
They correlate.
Because that's what causes it. The trauma.
Yeah.
But going on that, here's another question I want to ask you guys. When you are, as an individual, right? It is important for people, because this is what causes mental abuse as well, not being heard. because you can be in a situation where you were shut down. Your opinion was, you know, in relationships and mother and father things and mother father situations and, you know, in community relationships. You know, there were times where your voice was shut down. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when you get involved with people, what you do is you argue not just the topic, but you argue to be heard. So why is the fact of being heard the level of importance as opposed to just backing down? You know what I'm saying? Why is being heard so important? Because some people won't
sometimes
say, you know what?
Sometimes people don't have the capacity to hear you. Some people don't know what effective communication is. Some people don't know what actively listening is. That's the tools, right? So if you go through generation after generation after generation doing the same thing, responding the same way, you know, speak when you're spoken to or stay in your place or you don't know what you're talking about, so you need to hush or, right? It keeps going and going and going until a person feels, you know, anxiety for even asking a question in the classroom. I want to ask a question, but I can't raise my hand because I've been shut down so much at home that I feel as though I talk too much, or I feel as though I'm going to say the wrong thing, or I feel as though it's not my place to say anything, right? So all that starts piling on top of each other as you go through grade school and into adult life.
Yes.
You know what's so funny? I was at work and I was listening to this doctor talking. And he was saying, I mean, this had nothing. This was a while back before even the topic came up. And I put it in my little glasses case because I be writing on my little stickies. And he says Generation X wants to be honored. Millennials want to be heard. And Gen Z's want to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
That was so interesting to me. You said, so why is it that people want to be heard? Because maybe around the time that the millennials was growing up, that's when a lot of us young people was having babies out of wedlock and we were too busy and we had to go and do and make it happen and do all of this and do all of that to the point where we didn't have time to actively sit down and listen, as opposed to our parents who probably for the most
part
had time, you know, because the roles were still similar where the mother was in the home, or if she was working, it wasn't to the point where it took from the kids and the father, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's something, like, it becomes abuse when you feel like you're not being heard. And so you have to say what you have to say, even at the expense of just saying it in anger and getting it out. And then sometimes people say, I gotta cuss. I mean, they ain't gonna hear me unless I cuss. That's how I get through. And so now we're abusing people with our words, and we know everybody,
and breaking them down
with the words, because you feel like I'm tired of this, you know. Subconsciously, your subconscious mind has already taught you that when you talk, you're gonna get shut down. So you already go in with that notion of I'm going to be heard, you know, and you do what you got to do to be heard, whether it's, you know, all of the abusive ways that the conversation come across, especially if you feel like they about to break into what you're saying. Oh, now I'm finna let you have it. You know,
right? And then you really can't be heard. You gotta, well, like, you broke down generations. You can't be heard if the only thing people are hearing these days is their phone go off. And if you're not on the phone, or if you're not social media, or if you're not the latest trend, I don't hear you anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level of listening.
Right. Wow. Okay.
That's true. I heard this preacher, I heard this preacher say this. He said, when you're pregnant, he said, the first thing the doctor listens to is the heartbeat.
That's the first thing they hear.
And that lets you know that the baby is alive. And he said, this is the reason why we have to understand at that point, the mind, even though it's working, is not at a full level of development. The thing that is developed or already developed and flowing and keeping the whole embryo alive is the heart.
Yeah.
So in other words, with the brain and the mindset not being developed, we have to be very mindful of what we allow or what we train our children, or what we teach them, or what we show them, or what we say to them, how we do not shut them down, how we impart stuff in them that's going to make or develop their level of thinking, so that their level of thinking can not only get information, but it can gain wisdom. Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge.
Yeah. And he said that the heart, that lets you know that the heart can comprehend. I mean, the mind sometimes can't even comprehend those things that the heart has already understood. So that's why you hear sometimes people say, I need you to hear my heart. They don't say, I need you to hear my mind. I need you to hear my heart, because there's some things that's going on in my heart that I know what I want to say. I know what, but my mind haven't really kind of wrapped itself around the thing. But I know in my heart, this is what's, you know, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now if you have a lot of anger, toxicity, bitterness, resentment, or all of those things in your heart, after a while, like you said, 18 years, 20 years, 50 years of all of that stuff piling up, all of a sudden it start coming out of your mouth. Because you've chosen to hold on to that defense mechanism, that abuse, that abusive mentality that you feel like served you well.
Right. Correct. Correct. That's why people say charge it to my mind, not my heart as well.
Charge it to my head, not to my heart.
Yeah.
Don't charge it to my head. That's that's a lot of charge.
Hi, Vivian. Vivian, you so funny. So now he make jokes on his head before you get a chance.
Right. Oh yeah, that's Vivian. How I used to get up. I make fun of my head myself. I don't need you to do it. I already know it did.
Sherry, how are you? Welcome. Hey, Pop Jesse, we love you. Okay, so basically, how do we overcome the mental abuse though? Because we know that it's there, and we know different ways that it comes out. You know, but how do we overcome it?
Let me say this before you say this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Let me say this.
You got it?
Right. Yeah, I'm a loser. That's why I said let me go, because you younger than me. You know what I'm saying? I may lose it. So let me say this real quick before. I know you got some. So here's the thing. I got to go scriptural, because that's really what I refer to a lot. Before Adam fell, he was given work. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what we do is we always wait till we fall before we do the work, instead of already having the work done so that we can protect ourselves from falling. So it's not waiting till there's a problem, but it's being proactive to make sure that we're mentally or spiritually, not just mentally, but spiritually in a place that could help us get through those times when we are weak, or those times when we don't know what we don't have an answer.
We got to do the work.
We got to understand, okay, this was said to me. Boom, let me just acknowledge that I need, because at the end of the day, we all, I don't care how perfect and educated you are, we all fall short. So we're going to always need a level of education, a level of getting an understanding, a level of that's consistently being proactive in the time of getting the work that we need to put in, so that we don't fall into those weak moments.
Wow.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartly, but you know, I break things down, right?
Break it down. Come on.
So over is a preposition, right? Spell preposition just with the first four letters.
Prepare.
Prep.
Prep. Right?
Prepare.
She said four letters.
Oh, prepare.
We can tell what kind of student you were.
Yeah. I was a class clown.
Prepare. Means, if it's a preposition, it means that you're prepping to overcome, which overcome means like when you're coming, that's you're breaking down barriers. You're defeating the negativity, the negative connotation. So put together, you're prepping to defeat.
Yes.
Come on.
The mental abuse. Right?
Love
it. That's what I wanted to say. That was it.
Went
well with what you said. So perfect.
See, that coincided with so well. Coincided.
You're preparing.
Do the work. Mm-hmm. Because again, remember, the mind is set to remember. So why not remember those things that are positive? Those things. That's why the scripture says, think on those things that are what? Pure, that are holy, that are sanctified. Yeah. So if you're thinking about positive stuff, if you're thinking I can make it, if you're thinking I am somebody, if you're thinking that I am the head and not the tail, if you're thinking I'm a lender and not a borrower, Yes, it has to keep going. And this is a daily walk. This is every day. I am somebody. Mm-hmm. I am somebody. And you telling yourself, and you sowing that seed into yourself, I am somebody. Mm-hmm. Guess what? So when somebody say, you ain't nothing, whatever, I am somebody.
Because the guidelines that you want, that it's like these mental abusive thoughts in this way you thinking, like you said, those are the guidelines that you doing, that you moving. You moving with these guidelines. That's your base. But if you don't have anything to put it against, then you'll always believe it. So I could tell you something and you'll believe it because you don't have, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made on this side. That's my standard.
Correct. You and don't have peace.
Right. Somebody say, somebody say you stupid over here. The mind of the righteous is blessed, baby. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got a blessed mind. You don't even have to say the mind of the righteous is blessed. No, baby. I already know I got a blessed mind.
You got that armor.
That's my
protection.
Standard.
That's come on. Come on.
So that's how you prepare to defeat.
Exactly.
You got to condition your mind with the truth and not the facts that people think that they know about you or the pain that they spew on you. You got truth over here. Truth trumps facts. And the only truth you're going to get that's stable, that never changes, is the word of God, baby. I'm sorry.
You know what that's like? You know what that's like? Okay, you know, every day we prepare. We go to the GNC store and we do what? We take vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take vitamins just to be preventive of maybe a cold or maybe something that may cause us to get sick. So we take our multivitamins.
Right.
Some of us take the 50-plus vitamins. Some of us take the gummy bears, the chewables.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the point is we do these preventative things to keep us from getting sick. It's the same thing with our mental. We have to do that thing that's going to daily prepare us before the sickness comes.
Yeah.
Before the thought, not just the sickness, but before the thought comes. Because that's what cognitive therapy is.
Yeah.
It is catch the thought at the thought.
Yeah, catch it at the thought.
Catch the thought at the thought.
And cast
so catching
down.
The thought at the thought is what? Preparing your mind to already understand what was placed inside of it, and that was everything that was positive.
Parallel scripture. Cast down every imagination.
Cast it down.
Cast it down.
Mm-hmm.
Cast it down.
I always tell my clients to once you keep telling yourself, okay, I'm not going to do this. Nope, I know what that's going to do. Nope, I know what that's going to do. That's going to make me spiral. That's going to make me do this. Keep telling. You can talk to yourself in your head, and nobody talking to you that you're talking in your head to yourself, right? So you don't look weird. You don't look awkward, but you do look balanced. You do look put together. You do look at peace, right? They don't have to know what you're doing on the inside.
And that's even further than that. The look, you look put together, you look balanced and everything on the outside. But we have to remember that the only changing agent is the word of God. So we got to start putting those little, I could say all day, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. But the word says,
I can do all things through Christ.
The word says, I was fashioned. Do you know what that fashion means? Yeah. He did like, and he said, he fashioned me. Do you know what fashion is? So if we really like take certain scriptures, and those are secrets, messages that God set in that word for his kids to eat daily so we won't fall for. And that's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. That means take on the look, the moral compass, the attitude of this world, but be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. But see, the thing that they don't tell you, we stop right there. But the next part to that, it's for a reason. It says so that we can know and approve, test and approve God's will for our life. So I'm inclined to believe that the enemy don't want our minds. He want us mentally disturbed. He want us with these illnesses and to maintain them and manage them instead of getting rid of them and defeat them. Because as long as our mind is stayed on what we're going through, we're not going to conform. We are going to conform to what the world is saying about us. Therefore, we're never going to be able to pass the test and approve and know what his will is for my life. I need to know what his will is for my life so I can live on purpose and I can go to the destiny that he has for me. That if that means I got to keep my mind focused, I'm going to be intentional about washing my mind with this word every single day so that the things that are in my head that messed me up, I can wash that thing up out of there because I don't need it. I can't have that in my life. I have to be intentional.
So
it's just like Jesus was saying, keep going forward. Don't look back. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back?
Baby.
Pillar of salt.
She became salt for all of us.
What you talk about?
Right.
So with that being said, a lot of us, we have that drive to keep going. But it's something pulling us back, right? We're not supposed to look back, but it's something pulling us back. So instead of continuing to move forward, we open the door that was already closed, look back, and then we become salty. We become salty individuals with the way we talk to people, how we view things on ourselves, on others, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just need to stop looking back. You got to continuously go forward in order to prosper.
Deal with the back and then keep on. Yeah.
There you go. If not, we're going to keep on spiraling. We're going to keep on repeating patterns that we thought we healed from. And then we're going to feel like, oh, I'm just a failure. I'm this and that. A lot of stuff will be instilled based off your thoughts.
Yeah. Right.
That's good. I'm glad you said, because I was about to ask a question on that. Because sometimes a lot of these feelings and thoughts come from the pain of our own parents. Some of us that have grown up with being being shut down, you know, you go homeschool and you can't go outside, sit here and get on the computer and do your homework.
Sheltered.
Sheltered. Some of us have been seeing abuse, you know, saying, so a lot of these thoughts and these behaviors come from our childhood. How will we tell people to overcome, you know, that mental abuse when they've inherited it and they volunteer, because like some behaviors are voluntary and involuntary. Right. So when it's involuntary like that, how could we tell them to manage, or, you know, what they would do to overcome being, you know, that mental abuse at that stage?
I got a great sentence for that. Get over yourself and come into a newer awareness of self. That means outside of what you learn, outside of learned behavior, outside of a generational curse, outside of all of that, you got to get over it to get under a new you, not under somebody else, right? Because you heard that.
Yes.
Get over somebody to get under somebody new. No, do it for yourself. You can do the same things you're doing externally, internally. So get over yourself by getting under a newer part of self.
Right. And it happened.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It did happen.
You can change your dynamics.
Right.
Yeah, you can change your dynamics.
And that's the part that, go ahead.
I was going to say you could change your dynamic, but a lot of people are so stuck and stagnant in that dynamic that they don't see another way through. They don't see another way out. You remember we were in school, you used to do that circle and you put a word in the middle and then you have a whole bunch of lines coming out of it. You're mapping,
the brainstorming,
Brainstorm. You can do that and change the trajectory of your life and what it was presumed to be, right? You can change that and make it you, because at the end of the day, childhood, that was all your parents. But when you become an adult, you're not supposed to carry the child to the adult. So your child is a backpack to your adulthood. So it's weighing you down.
Wow.
Because Tierra said, our childhood trauma is not talked about enough as an adult. And that's correct. But we get stuck as an adult. We get stuck at that place where we were hurt, which is at a child. So we carry that same child to a level of adult, and we still have to deal with that child. So how is it's not just talking about it. You have to do more than talk about it, because talking about it really just brings it back up and it brings back the memory of the child. You got to do more. That means I tell people a lot, write it down. Get those thoughts out of your head. Mm-hmm. Because talking about it, it only stirs up and it only triggers that childhood trauma.
Right. And you also have to get an understanding of the circumstances surrounding what was going on at the time, because a lot of times we don't realize that our parents were probably discouraged, or our parents were probably going through their own pain. So a lot of times they were probably teaching us protection out of the pain that they went through, which may not have been the best lesson of protection. It came from pain, you know. So a lot of us, we don't even realize, if we get an understanding of, okay, my mother was going through her own stuff, and we can get that understanding now as adults, because we go through our stuff. Okay, so look at what I've done. Like, I may have taught a lesson out of pain, or I may have said something that wasn't the best lesson, but with the good intention, you know. So we have to remember that sometimes, even when we were dismissed, look at what was going on. Was I dismissed because, you know, maybe my father just punched my mother out, you know, and she was going through her own stuff and she was trying to pretend like everything was fine and she didn't want you to see her like that. So she kind of dismissed you to get, you know, away from the scene and go have her. You know, we don't know what was going on, but we took it, you know, we took mm-hmm. it in and we made it our narrative. So sometimes understanding will help us to unpack it and not continue to relive it in the same way, because now your perspective have changed. And a lot of times when right. you see through clearer lenses, then you know how to handle situations a whole lot better.
True. Definitely. Oh, she said it all. That was perfect.
Said it all. That was perfect.
That was perfect. Yeah, you're right. The different lens, you internalizing, packing it away, you know, internalizing just means that everything that has been done to you, you take it in. Yeah. Right? So when it comes to an onion layer, when it comes to unpacking, even in therapy, we got to start from the beginning. That's why I don't really do too much CBT or cognitive behavior therapy, because you're only dealing with the here and now. What about psychodynamic, dealing with the whole lifespan? Yeah. Because it started somewhere. It didn't just start in the here and now. So sometimes you have to go backwards to unpack in order to reveal or have a new lens, as Auntie was saying, a new lens at even how you project and see yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go back here. Let's go back for 1 second. Just to, you know, I like to always play angel's advocate. What do we put some of that responsibility on the parent? Because here's the thing. According to statistics, 75% of the kids grown up are not prepared to go out on their own. 75, that is a large number.
Mm-hmm.
So do we put some of that responsibility of the trauma on the parents, or is it solely put on that individual who is being prepared to go out into the world on their own?
So that's a good question.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. Only because it goes back to what I was saying. Remember, if you don't have the tools, the knowledge, the know-how, right? How can you teach what you don't know? How can you prepare what you don't know needs prepping?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's like it's a double-edged sword, because now that I figured it out, it may be too late. Or that's why we say, I want my child to be better than I am, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever I did, that was me just trying to figure it out. But from my actions, or from my what was unbeknownst to me, right? From that, I want you to go out here and be better than me, be a better product of me. Yeah. So that's why our kids are supposed to be better than us, because we don't have all the answers. So I can't blame anyone, because we're both trying to figure it out.
And the problem is everybody wants to say somebody got to take responsibility. But all responsibility
is accountability,
yes. But responsibility is the ability to respond. Like you said, some people don't have the tools. Did they have the ability to respond correctly in those situations? Correct. If not, I can't make them take the responsibility, but I can hold them accountable for what they did or didn't do. A lot of times people bring it up, their childhood up, and they bring it up because they just, it's the trauma. They got to talk about it because they need somebody to vindicate them, or they want to feel validated vindicated. However, that keeps you in the place of just talking about it mm-hmm. and not in a place of, I'm telling you this because I need this to be gone. I need the victory over this in my life. So sometimes we have to, I guess, in so many words, help people understand you can have the victory over this. There is not one situation in this world that you cannot have the victory over, but we have to get you to the point of deciding and desiring to let go of that. It's like that dog that sees itself in the puddle of water with a bone in its mouth, and the dog in the puddle, his reflection has a bigger bone, so he drops what he has to get that bigger bone. We need to help people to understand it's okay to get rid of, drop some stuff. You got a good grip. That was a bad example, because the one in the, that mean he lost both bones. But if you think about it, he could have just reached out and picked it back up. But anyway, I thought about that. Like, wait, that was not a good example. However, people need to stop having such a grip on the negative and have a desire. And we need to train people up to have a desire to trade that negative for something positive that's going to benefit their life and give them something good to walk into a future and a hope, you know? That's something
we have to start teaching. But that's challenging these days as well, because I've had clients come to me saying, my mom and my dad is all I got. If I'm better than them, or if I go out here and do this, that, and the other, I'll lose my family. So it's a lot of choices, a lot of talks, it's a lot of trauma, it's a lot of whatever that needs to be, you know, spoken in family therapy. But they know their parents so well that that will ultimately, they will lose their family. So having me having to sit there with that and process it, in like, if I take my professional hat on off, it's just like, are they really your family if they're able to dump you just based off of your feelings? So that's the professional hat off, right?
It could just be how they think it's going to happen, and it may not even happen that way. So the thing is, if you are a praying person, that's so vital, because now you could teach, if this is something you do in your profession, you teach them, look, let me tell you something. I got a secret for you. It's a nugget. If you pray about how you ask God to help you to navigate that relationship, he'll do that thing so sweet and so subtle that they won't even know they've been hit before they've been hit by your change, and then your change start changing them. So that's why it's so important that we shift the mentality of the stuff that we go through and the stuff people see, because you could switch that thing from, you know what? How about this? If you really go to God with it, he'll help you do it. And it'll be, it won't be something that'll hit them so hard that they'll reject you. It'll be something that'll be so sweet that they'll want to pull you close.
Yeah.
He'll do that.
And I wish I wish we could talk that way, but if they do it and it's not the result, that's my license, right?
But,
because I spoke on a personal of what I would do listening to them. That's the only double-edged sword. But I would
as a therapist, right. But as somebody who's a Christian counselor, baby, I love it. I'm gonna let you know, because one thing is for sure, God said his word will not come back void, baby, and I know what my prayers will do. So I know that it'll work. Guaranteed.
This is why, and I know, because our job as counselors is to encourage, educate, rapid services.
Correct.
So it's very like straight to the point.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I guess that's what I'm learning to filter to as well. Like, because I personally get involved, and that's where it hurts me a lot. Because it's like, I could tell you more. I got more information for you. Like, well, you know, but it's like, you got to be so careful, because you could really get in trouble, you know what I'm saying, behind going above and beyond the call. But here's the thing. I kind of lost my thought a little bit, but I had a great question. Oh, yeah. So the thing is, I believe we was going about the parent, what I was saying about the parent. With the parent, the thing is, even if you don't have the information, because, yeah, that is so true what you guys saying about a lot of time the parents don't have the information. But I do believe, again, there's a level of accountability, and that accountability comes with a simple conversation. You know what I'm saying? I was telling my wife earlier today, what makes me different, what makes me and her relationship different from any other relationship that I have, is because we have that connection. So whatever information that I don't know, there's still a level of a conversation that we have, so that she understands that I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So if we are accountable to lacking the information and say, hey, listen, I know I could have did this. I know I could have said this. I just didn't know. I believe that would help along with a level of healing. You know what I'm saying? Because then the expectation won't be so great on the fact that I think that you stared me the wrong way, or I think you didn't care enough about me to tell me you didn't know.
Right.
So so that's still that level of accountability that I still believe, even without the know-how, there should be that conversation that goes on as they transition into the world, so that you don't send them not only not equipped, but feelings that they don't need to carry.
Right.
That's why it is so beautiful, baby, to have a healthy relationship, so that person can feel like that they are sending, they're putting their humility, because that's what you show is humility in that moment. When you show humility, it is so sexy, because at that moment you have not come to a place of saying or acting like
figure it out. You grown.
Yeah, and you throw those, and that's mentally messing with the person you in a relationship with too. Instead of you just saying, you know what? I don't really know, but listen, look, shoot, maybe we can sit down and talk about it, come up with something together or something like that, because I've seen both sides of the relationship. One side where it was a lot of arrogancy. I'll just go be honest. It was arrogance, and it was like, I got it all together. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm like, dang. Following you, but I'm gonna go. But I'm gonna go because I'm gonna be obedient to God, you know. But see, then you come to a place of growth and maturity in Christ. Ooh, because it can't happen outside of Him in Christ. Where now it's like, you know what, babe? I don't know. And so I'm like, okay, thank you for letting me know that. Now I know what to do. Now I know what to pray about, so we can get to it. And I love that.
Hey, listen.
Amen.
Amen. So we got that mind moment, man. Like, you know, like just give us a little mind moment real quick.
Before I do a mind moment, read what Tierra just said.
Yeah. She did. I forgot. No, that was a good example. It was a reflection of him seeing what he really has.
Already
has. But the reflection of himself shows him something bigger.
Wow. To your dog analogy with the bone.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, let me read it again now that I know the analogy about that bone. Okay, she said, no, that was a good example. It was a reflection of him seeing what he already has, okay, with that mentality, okay? But the reflection of himself shows him something bigger. Tierra, thank you for saving me. That was good. Because, you know, when you see something bigger, you do want it, but it's still you. And it's like, correct, you can have it. You can have something bigger. But in the event that it's your reflection and you lose that first bone, just reach down and pick it up.
Pick it up. Pick it up. Yeah. Or go get another bone.
Yeah, just reach down and
go get another
that
bone.
That part.
Grab it with the claws.
So, Tierra, I love you, girl. But anyway,
give us a mind moment.
So the mind moment for overcoming mental abuse is to take accountability for you and you alone. We cannot keep on playing victim by saying, oh, it's my mama's fault. Or I blame my daddy. Or I blame my siblings. Or I blame the environment. Game. Or I blame Trump. Right? The blame game, right? We can't continue to do that, because what happens is you pile everybody else on top of who needs to really be identified, and that's you. You don't have to identify with every hurt thing that you have gone through. But what you can do is extract yourself from that negative identity to create a positive one for yourself.
Wow, I like that. You said what you're doing, and I even visualized you piling all of these people that you blaming on top
of the person.
Right. Yes. So now you can't see me. Oh, my goodness.
You're hiding behind the issue.
And even other people.
Or even how about this? You the lowest person on the totem pole now. So now you holding all of this weight of everybody else and the decisions they made in your life that hurt you, and you the lowest person on the totem pole.
Correct. Wow.
Getting crushed.
Exactly.
Getting smashed.
Mm-hmm. Not smashed.
Same
baby.
Thing. Crushed, smashed.
So even it says that, you know, God won't put more on you than you can bear, but we have to take accountability that we're putting on what he wouldn't do. We're putting it on ourselves.
Girl, you put on what he wouldn't even do. Come on. Who loves you?
Exactly.
He does.
Exactly.
He does. When I don't love myself, he loves me.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
We even blame him, like, oh, this isn't working. Or if something happens, you blame God and things of that nature. No, you did that. You did that to yourself.
And in the event it was an abuse that happened to you that was outside of your control, it's still not, well, God did this to me. No, people are corrupt. We all have had a sinful nature until we have given ourselves and our lives to God. So it's not God that did it. it's that person, because God gives us free will. However, what God will do if you let him is take that abusive situation and turn that pain into a power, and that power will charge you. And it will give you the opportunity to be more than a conqueror in that situation, and then go and help so many people that's going through the same mm-hmm. thing you went through.
But you said something pivotal. You said was controlled, right? Mm. That doesn't mean you will never be in control. You're taking the was controlled, and you're continuing to allow the control without that person even being present in your life.
My goodness. And so you go around controlling everybody else because you are still in the mode of was controlled.
Being out of control. You were out of control.
Yeah. I wasn't in control.
Which goes back to what we said before. Right. Mental abuse on yourself. Yeah. Nobody else is doing it. So mental abuse really starts with yourself.
Yes. We can overcome mental abuse, but we have to do it in the context of the Word of God, because he will wash those thoughts. He will change your perspective. He will have you looking at it so differently that people think you crazy. He said, I'll keep you at perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed on me. Keep paying attention to what I'm doing. Look at what I got going on. Man, and I'm going to show you something.
There was a statement that we used to say back in New York, man, when somebody was acting out of character. It's, man, you just out of control. But now I understand why. Because you're not in control of these emotions that you are spewing out.
Yeah.
You're just not in control of yourself. You're out of control.
But you know what?
And that's called emotional dysregulation.
I did find out, though, that abuse, most abuse, is not because they were out of control. And that's what I thought. I found out from the study I did, and it could be on a particular one, but I found out that most abuse happens because you are trying to take control, not because it's a moment of you being out of control. It's your way to control the person that you in a relationship.
But it's still those emotions that make you do that. So it's still a level of being out of control.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the impulsive nature. So you had to be out of control in order to try to gain back that control. Yeah, but instead of taking the control in a healthier manner, you did it in an unhealthy manner, which then projected onto that other person. So it keeps going and going and going and going.
There you
go. There you go.
No, some point, you got to get off the track.
We're going to have to send Lady Free to a whole nother course of counseling, you know what I'm saying? Because she just doing her thing over here.
No, I don't think I need a course.
Yeah, another course. We're gonna send you to grief and loss, and then marriage and family. We're gonna make you well rounded.
Well, baby, let me say this. I didn't get my information from a course.
Glory.
This guy, y'all see what I gotta deal with daily.
Ooh, but yeah, I'm about to quickening in my spirit. But listen, y'all. Yeah. Listen, y'all.
Quickening.
Listen, y'all. Man, if you are not coming on Sundays to the shift spot, to the shift moment, man, you are missing.
It's called the Sunday night.
You are missing. Spot. Oh my gosh. You are missing a treat.
Man.
I'm telling you, man.
It's electric.
Man, listen. We getting ready.
What happened to my video feed?
Okay, so this is the thing.
We've been taking footage, but she just haven't put it together yet.
We're not going to go live.
Yeah, we're going to put out a video.
This is an experience, and sometimes it gets intimate and it gets real, like, amazing. And yeah, if you want to be a part of this experience,
we do have footage that we're going to put together a video to kind of, like, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to give you a sneak preview, but you got to be there. Oh my God, it's just been awesome. It's been awesome.
When the flights get right, you got to come.
You got to come.
Tell me about it.
It's amazing.
But listen, y'all. Listen, y'all, man. This hour goes by so fast.
It does.
Oh my gosh. Listen, y'all. You can overcome mental abuse.
You can.
You actually can overcome anything you put your mind to it, because you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Through him that love him. You are more. You are more than. Means you can overcome anything.
And then some.
Not just mentally, but physically, emotionally. Yeah. You can overcome these things, these weights that so easily beset us. Yeah. Lay aside every weight. Lay them aside. I promise you, you could overcome anything, man. And we just want you guys to know that as we continuously delve into these topics, man, you know, we're telling you, like and share. Please subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel, man. We're trying to get to 10K. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get to 10K on YouTube and Facebook. So listen.
Nice.
And it's really because we just really want to get this great content out to a lot more people, man. So just help us share. Help us, you know, like it, share. Heart sent, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know if we got to hashtag it to make, you know, to get more people
Pastor
to
watch. Pastor Mia.
So, yeah, Mia's
we
on.
We want to spread the word that the outcome of any abuse is to, what you say, prep for victory.
It's a preposition. So you prep for defeat.
You prep.
You have to defeat the negativity.
For defeating the negativity.
Yes.
It can happen.
And I promise you, we are getting ready for the ATL. I'm telling you, they're not ready for what we're bringing. I'm telling you. We're getting ready, girl. I'm telling you.
I got a challenging question for y'all, though.
Come on. Sure. Come on.
How did you all overcome mental abuse?
How did I overcome it personally? You want me to go first?
Sure. Okay.
You know how I overcame it? I prepared myself. I mean, like, what I did was I really went back and I dealt with those things that I felt that I couldn't get out of my mind myself. So I had to really spend that time alone so that I could talk to God and really identify. First, I had to identify what those feelings were. And when I identified what those feelings, then I was able to deal with them. And that means everybody that I felt hurt me, I was able to go back and even to those people and, you know, forgive them or have that conversation with them. And those who I didn't talk to, I was still just able to forgive them. And once I was able to do that, then it was nothing mentally that could come against my strong mental state. I'm very strong mentally now. I'm so strong mentally, I will not crack. I will not bend. I don't care what it is. So I go in places so confident now. You know, who he think he is? Well, I know who I'm somebody, you know.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah. I mean, it was just that simple as identifying it. Dealing with the thought, tackling the thought, forgiving and moving past it so that I don't carry that burden.
Well, I'm still getting up past it because I didn't even know I had any mental abuse issues.
You do.
Because.
Really?
I'm telling y'all what I got to deal with. Because listen, growing up in a two-parent home with love, And everything, I never had to worry about a light getting cut off for a bill or we gonna get evicted. I mean, it was just a normal to me life. But what I didn't realize, and a friend girl of mine helped me to realize this, as a matter of fact, Pastor Mia, she helped me to realize this just probably a few days ago, that there are some things mentally that I'm still fighting with, but because they were so subtle, you know, it's the shutdown of, here she go again talking. She, you know, and those little subtle things that made me come up with a negative. I think we said she helped me understand it was self-doubt. So I doubted myself and I doubted my validation. And I didn't even know that. And I bought that into my marriage. So it's like when you have that thing where you're not respected growing up. Because, you know, you the third child, you the one that talk all the time. And you know, so when you have that in that mentality, it seems so small that you ain't getting punched in the face. You ain't getting cussed out. You're not getting sexually abused. You're not getting any of those things. So you think you okay. So that's how I was. And how am I overcoming it right now? By doing exactly what I'm telling everybody else to do. I'm washing myself with the word because when I see it creep its little ugly head up, I'm trying to cut that head off immediately. I just want to be better. I don't want to walk around angry. I don't want to walk around mad and sad. I want to be clean. I want to be good. I'm at the second half of my life. I'm in my 20s, you know? So because I'm in my 20s now, I just don't want to live. I just don't want to.
21.
Look, don't.
Mia, I'm laughing at Mia. She said, dang, Jeffy.
don't stop me. Okay, but anyway.
21. Yeah.
20 plus. So I'm at the second half of my life now, and I want to enjoy it. You know, I want to enjoy it, and I'm going to enjoy it. I create. I say this oftentimes. People say, "Well, how you doing?" I say, "You know what? How was your day?" "Oh, my day was good. I created a good day today." Because my father's a creator and so am I. So I'm going to create me some good days. I just got to be intentional. Like if somebody say, "Girl, you so-and-so and so," don't brush it off like they hating. Think about it and say, "Well, shoot, am I? Is that me? Maybe I'm coming off a way I didn't even realize." So now I just got to start taking a self-reflection and then saying, "Okay, God, help me understand it. Are they hating on me or are they telling me something I need to know about myself?" That's how I'm doing
it. I will
it.
Say this, too. I will say this. And I did say it jokingly. I was like, "Yeah, she do." But a lot of times, I had to deal with her level of mental, I mean, we call it mental abuse because it was abusive, what she'd been through. A lot of things that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I called a lot of that stuff on myself.
But a lot of her insecurities and like everything that she was told.
That was mine, insecurity.
She brung it on me.
Yeah.
Because when I pushed her, you know, even about her feet, when we were talking about her feet, she was very insecure about her toes. You know, she was very, you know, you covered them up, but she was very insecure about her weight. A lot of things that was said to her when she was younger, she felt that when she got into the marriage that she wasn't good enough. You know what I'm saying? I'm not good enough. So
I put on like I am, baby. I hold my head up, shoulders back, walk.
But all it took was something for me to say to trigger those emotions that she never really dealt with. So
and didn't I know to, I had to.
And then I had to kind of like, you know, it was something. So we've experienced it firsthand, and we've experienced it firsthand individually and collectively. So it was something that we actually went through.
And we had to help each other. So
yeah.
That's how we're doing it.
But that's what we did. You know. You know what I mean? Nice. So
thank you for sharing.
Thank you for asking. You know,
we're gonna be transparent. We're gonna be transparent.
ATL shouted.
That is not the ATL. You're not gonna keep doing my city like that.
It's like that.
Well, anyway, it is passy.
Don't give energy to it, D. It's like this.
Just keep looking straight.
But we can talk his language, too. That's bananas, man. You wildin'.
You know what I'm saying, son? You know what I mean?
But see, he likes that. He get excited.
Yeah, I got to start going character mode all easy.
But y'all, we're going to deal with that next week.
Yes, sir. So listen, y'all. Go ahead. That's our time, man. We thank y'all for tuning in. We know that we will be back next week. We thank God for the professor.
Mind provoking.
My MP.
Thank God for y'all. We love you, man.
Listen, if this is your first time tuning into Shift Real Talk Tuesdays, if you've been back, if you even started with us, listen, like, share, subscribe at Shift Real Talk TV. We talk about love, life, and relationships on this podcast, and we get down to the nitty gritty with fire and listen, topics.
And
okay, he just messed up my whole spiel. It was cute.
It was cute. Okay, go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
We done though.
I know, but listen, if y'all need any counseling, we got three counselors on here. She's in Atlanta. You know, we in Houston right now. Any counseling,
you know, you can't market and advertise that.
I'm sorry.
Roll credits.
Right. Until next week, same bad channel, same bad place. Listen. I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor J.
And I'm the guest, MP.
Hey, see you next week, guys. We love you.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.